The people who believed in the Lord Jesus in Ephesus were so real. You know what they did? Some of them were reading a lot of books that they shouldn't be reading. Books about witchcraft and magic and some kind of garbage. You know what they did? They said, well, look, these books are very good books. They are very expensive. Maybe we should get rid of them because they are not right. What are we going to do with them? They did not put them on eBay to sell them. They were worth 50,000 pieces of silver, $50,000. They didn't put them on eBay and said, okay, we'll make some money out of that and we'll use it for the gospel. You know what they did with them? They burned them. You see, there was, as a result of the book of Ephesians, reading the book of Ephesians, the life of believers have changed completely. People just got rid of these books of magic and witchcraft and filthiness. That's not for us now. We have wonderful things that we have heard from Paul. You know what are we going to do with that? We'll burn them. We are changing completely. That's what happened when you read the book of Ephesians. You will find, if you really, really wanted to learn it and to know it, that it will have a great impact on you, that your life will change. Now, the Apostle Paul unfolded to them the whole counsel of God. As I told you, he comes and he said, okay, guys, you're familiar how that temple of Diana was built. You're familiar how that was taking place. You're familiar with all of the blueprint that was in there. And it was a top secret, so nobody would know all of the secret entrance and exit to that temple, because they don't want anybody to come and destroy it. Now, God also had a counsel. The counsel of God. Before time began, in eternity. Now you, believers, young believers, small in numbers, you're going to have, as I told you yesterday, some security clearance. You're going to have security clearance. I am going to unfold before you top secrets. Stuff that nobody ever known before or seen before. You're going to be able to know that. You're going to be able to know the counsel of God. And he unfolded to them. He told them about the heavenly places. You are blessed with all spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. And I just want to say one thing on that, and then we'll move on. The blessing of the Christians are spiritual. Okay? You might hear, and you might see preachers that telling you that if you believe on the Lord Jesus, you're going to be very wealthy. You're going to be very rich. You'll never get sick. And you will have everything you want. You're going to be healthy, wealthy, and wise. Well, you're going to be wise. But I don't know about the healthy and the wealthy part. Because your blessing are spiritual. That's number one. God does not have, I could say that, any more blessing to give you. He gave us everything he has. He doesn't have anything else left. He has everything in Christ and he gave it to you. So they are spiritual. They are in Christ. They are not in you. They are in Christ. And number three, they are not on earth. They are in the heavenly places. So on earth you might be poor and you might be sick and you might not have everything that the world have. But in Christ Jesus, in the heavenly places, you have everything. Why God did that? Because he's rich in mercy. We're going to get to that in chapter 2. Why God did that? Because of the riches of his grace. Now, you read the expression in chapter 6. We have the glory of his grace in verse 6. And in verse 7, you have the riches of his grace. I want you to write these down. The riches of his grace. The difference between the riches of his grace and the glory of his grace. The riches of his grace has to do with my need. I'm a sinner. I need salvation. I need redemption. He is rich in grace. And he comes and he saved me. Imagine somebody who is bad, very bad, that he was thrown into jail. No place to go, no money, no home, and a sentence against him. Somebody come and he said, you know what? I will do you a favor. I will pay for you. I will get you out of jail and you will be free. Man, that will be great. That is the riches of his grace. That is really very kind of him. Just to let me free, I tell you what, I will be happy. The truth is this. I will be happy if we only have the book of Romans in the Bible. I will be very happy. Saved and going to heaven, I will be happy with that. But you know what? When God comes, he comes in a very great way. And he gives us even more than what we think. So the riches of his grace meets my need. But then in verse 6, we read about the glory of his grace. Now imagine that poor man that was in jail, that had no money, that had no food, that had no home. You are not only going to pay for him to get him free out of jail, but you're going to take him to your house and you make him one of your sons. That is the glory of his grace. And that's when God does something. He doesn't do it halfway. He brings us. He made us to sit in the heavenly places. Why? Because that was the pleasure of his will. He did it for himself, for his own heart satisfaction. So these are the few things that we talked about yesterday. It's just a little introduction to get you into the epistle, and then we'll move on.
Say just one very other, very brief thing concerning those books, because those books were very, very near and dear to their heart. They were very valuable, as we already heard. And just this principle that we find here and many, many other times in the scripture, and I'm sure I can attest to it in my own life, and I'm sure many here will agree, that whatever God removes, he always puts in something much greater. And these people, by faith and obedience to God, had removed these things that were dishonoring to the Lord. And so they, by faith, they burned them, as we heard. And then here's the book of Ephesians. Look at what they got to replace it. And so just that very quick principle that God, whatever he leads us to remove that's hindering our walkway with him, he puts in something that would be above and beyond what we could ever imagine.
It's important, and I believe that it actually brings us into verses 13 and 14, that God doesn't remove those books himself. He didn't remove them. And there's many things, dear young person, in your life. He won't remove it, but he will give you the power. That's what's needed. There are some people that think that because I'm saved, that in being saved and having been born again, that I have a new nature, and that new nature is power. It's not true. It's not true at all. What is the power for you and I to live for Christ in this world? It says, in whom, verse 13, ye also trusted. Now look, we have to get things in the right order. After that ye heard the word of truth. Here came the gospel preacher. He came to Ephesus. Emil has told us. Paul began to preach of the Lord Jesus and of the deliverance that man needed. He began to speak, as we had yesterday, of man being a slave, of man being in bondage, of a price, Luke, that was paid. The blood of the Lord Jesus has been shed, you see. And then it says, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Remember this, young people. God seals what belongs to him. Always remember that. He seals what is his. It is a mark of ownership. How many of you have your name on your Bible or your Bible case or something that's important to you? You see, that's what the seal is, among other things. It is God the Spirit saying, that young lady, that brother belongs to me. I have sealed him. I have sent my Spirit to indwell that one. So it is a mark of ownership, but then it is also the power to live for Christ here. If I have to burn those books on my own, I'll never do it. If I have to live for Christ according to my own whatever is within me, apart from the Spirit of God, I'll fail every time. But it says, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. And it's not a which, it's a who. Who is the earnest? Do you know what that earnest means? You know what that word means? It means the down payment.
Can you write that down, please?
It means the down payment. And we heard of the inheritance that we have yesterday. The Spirit of God is the down payment or the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. You say, well, these are a lot of words and they're all running together. Let's back up and let's look at them very carefully. The redemption of a purchased possession. Do I realize that I have been bought with a price? The price is not yet to be paid. It has been paid. I do belong to Christ. I stand on the value of his shed blood. You and I are purchased possessions. But do you know something? Are any of you in heaven yet? Is anybody going to tell me they're in heaven? Why, no, we're not there yet. We're waiting that day. He says, until the redemption of the purchased possession. Others would have something to help us with, I'm sure, here.
I think that it's very important that we make an emphasis of these verses right here, because one of the questions that I'm constantly presented with is, how are we confident that, you know, when we're saved, that this is something that is just absolute, and that it's something that, you know, cannot be taken away from us? And the other connection that I would like to make, including, you know, this verse that we've been shown here from verses 13 and 14, and this is an epistle that we had taken 2 years ago at Grove City, Philippians chapter 1. This is also the Apostle Paul speaking in verse 6. He says, having confidence of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it unto Christ's day. And the Apostle Paul is very confident of this sealing that he's talking about in Ephesians chapter 1. So I want you to be very, you know, well aware of the fact that once we are sealed with the Holy Spirit, this is something that we cannot lose.